The title of our message is Arise and Shine. Some of you that were here in the beginning of the year will remember that this is the word that the Lord gave to us for 2016. He said to us, arise and shine. And he gave us Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 up to 5. Arise and shine. Now the challenge that we sit with is at times we then start asking ourselves a question. What do we mean when we say we have to arise? How can I arise? How does one arise? There is a temptation to go back to the old covenant, which was driven by works. When we arise in the Lord, we get tempted to go back to that covenant and we start trying to please the Father by our actions and we think we are arising. When the Lord gave us this word in the beginning of the year, we continued with the series that we were with. But then soon after giving us this word, when he gave me this message, to clarify this part of how does one arise. Let's go through Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 5 first. We are reading from the New King James Version. Arise, shine, for your light has come. I want you to see this again. Arise, shine, for your light will come. Do you agree with me? Arise, shine, for your light has. It has happened already. We as the body of Christ, at times we spend so much time asking God to do what he has done already. We are begging him. We're saying, Father, let your glory come from heaven and be upon this house. In the old covenant, they could pray like that. Remember, Christ lives inside you. John chapter 1, the Bible says, we have received the fullness of Christ. So when you are asking for God's glory to come from heaven, to come and fill this house, what are you talking about? What are you looking for now? The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Not that it will be risen upon you. The glory of the Lord is risen. It's in the past tense. It has happened already. Are you seeing it or not? Whether you see it or not, it's all up to you. The intention that we have today is to share with you, how do you see the glory of the Lord shining upon your life? How do you then experience the light of the Lord being seen upon your life? That's what we want to look at. And we want to show you how easy it is. It is easy as A, B, C. 1, 2, 3. I'll give you 3 things that you can do to see the glory of the Lord shining more or brighter and brighter and brighter over your life. Right from the beginning of the year, we've got testimonies already now of what the Lord is doing in our life. The Lord said to us at the beginning of the year, I will promote you and your promotion will come from me. You are not going to promote yourself. And we've seen God doing stuff that we could not have done in our own strength. I was in a meeting as well last week. I looked at what God did. It's just amazing. God has spoken his word. Just like he did to Abraham, he spoke to Abraham, he said, I have made you a father of many nations. And after he had spoken that word, God was done. Abraham came to a point where he cooperated with God and the promise of the Lord came to pass. And that is what we want to see today. Praise the Lord. Let's read verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you. God is saying, it's not that nothing will be wrong in the world. It's not that things will just, you know what, everything will happen as they should. No. He says there will be darkness over the earth and gross darkness over people. But as the world is experiencing what is happening in the world, the Bible says, but the Lord will arise over you. So that means God is going to separate you. You remember the story of Israel. When they were in Egypt, the Bible tells us that when darkness fell all over Egypt, there was light in Goshen. So you can expect God to protect you where you are. You don't have to really experience what the world is experiencing. This is the word of God. Let's continue. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. How will the glory of the Lord be seen upon you? Will people see a cloud over your life? When they get close to you, they will feel something. How will people in the world see the glory of the Lord upon you? God explains what will happen. Let's continue. Verse 3. Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Verse 4. Lift up your eyes all around and see. Now this is very important for us. Lift up your eyes all around and see. You need to start seeing. When God called Abraham and he took him to the land of Canaan, the Bible says God said to Abraham, look around, look to the east, south, west, and north. He said, look around, and as far as your eyes can see, the land that you can see, I have given it to you. And he came to Joshua, he said, walk through the land. And the land that you walk through, I have given it to you. God expects us to see with our spiritual eyes what he has already promised us before it even happens. And that is called what? Faith. If you cannot see what the Lord has promised you, just take your time. Just spend your time in the Word of God. And as you spend time in the Word of God, what you will see is that the glory of the Lord will help you to start changing your mind, and you'll start seeing that thing. And when you see it, once you start seeing it, then it's going to come to pass. Think about Abraham. The Bible says, God told him, he said, from now on, I want you to tell everybody you meet that you are the father of many nations. Before it happened, he started acting and he started talking like he was a father of many nations. And as he did that, the Bible says, then the child came. That is what God wants us to do. He wants us to start seeing. Let us be expectant, Bazalwane. Let us be like a woman that is expecting to have a child. A woman that is expecting to have a child knows that their child is coming. The child may not be born today, but I know that this child will be born. I don't know the day, I don't know the hour. The doctors can somehow try and tell you that around this day they'll give you a date, but it happens so many times that that date passes, or time the child comes before that day. It's just your science to try and estimate when the child will come through. So that woman that is carrying the child has no doubt that the child will be born. The woman is not perturbed by the fact that the child is not born yet. The fact that the child has not come, it does not mean that the child is not going to come. So the woman starts celebrating, starts planning. They go and prepare everything they need to do to prepare for this child, so that the day that the child is born, the child has everything that it needs. That is what God wants us to do. Your miracle may not have come as yet, or what you expect from God may not have come as yet. But if you are expectant, you will be like a woman that is pregnant. You will start talking your expectation. You will start preparing for the arrival of the child. You will start acting like the child is coming. That is the expectation that we must have. Otherwise, we are not in faith. That's what the word teaches us. So God says, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see. This is something. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. How will the Gentiles see the glory of the Lord over your life? The challenge that we sit with is we limit God. We put God in a box. We tell God how we want people to see His glory. God, I want just when I walk into that class, the anointing of the Lord to fill that class and everybody to be slain in the spirit. And we say that's the glory of the Lord. It is the glory of the Lord. But we are limiting God if we limit Him to that. You know, when I speak, I want them to feel the weight in their hearts. I want it to jump in their hearts. You know what? That is the glory of the Lord. But we are limiting God. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or can even think about. But it is according to the power that works within us. There should be some power working within us. If there is no power working within us, we will not see the things that God wants to do in our lives. We must be expectant, Bazalwan. And as we are expectant, we will then see the glory of the Lord. And the world will not see the glory of the Lord by being spooky. And they see how spooky we are. We will chase them away. If we become too spooky, they will run away. But if it is not generated by our flesh, because we can act, you know that, eh? We can act it. If it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, even the world will come and they will marvel at what the Lord is doing. The Bible says tongues will be a sign to unbelievers that something is happening. When they come into the house of the Lord and they hear you speak in tongues, and there is an interpretation of what was said in tongues, the world will marvel. The world does not marvel at tongues without interpretation. At times we want to measure at tongues, and we don't bring the interpretation, and we think the world will marvel. Anything that does not make sense to the world, they shy away from it. So allow the Lord to go all the way. Give you the tongues, and then He gives you the interpretation. Then the world will hear what the Lord is saying. But we said the question is, how does one arise? How do we arise? The first thing is, we will arise through obedience to faith, not to standard. At times we get tempted to try and live up to certain standards, because we believe that if we meet that standard, then God will see what we have done and He will reward us. That is not how God works these days. There was a period when He did that. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. God, who did not withhold Jesus Christ, but gave Him up as a propitiation for our sins, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So we receive anything from God, how freely? We don't work for that. We don't meet a standard. We receive everything from God through faith. So our obedience is not to a standard. Our obedience is to faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you take what you hear and you believe it, and that Bible says that is faith. Look at Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, God came and he promised him that he will bless him abundantly and he will have generations after him. He will make him great. The Bible says Abraham believed God. And verse 6, then God said, you are righteous. Abraham did nothing for him to be righteous. He just believed the promise of the Father. That is what we are called to. When you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1, that's a different covenant. It's the covenant that was given to Israel after the law was given to them. And that was supposed to last until the seed of the woman, which is Christ Jesus, had come. When Christ came, he took us back to the covenant that God had with Abraham, and he added what Christ brought for us, which gives us now access to the heavenly things. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, God said, if you diligently obey my voice and you do the commandments that I give to you, then I will bless you. That is not for you as a child of God. You don't have to diligently obey the voice of the Lord. Ooh, that sounds somehow. I know. I know. You know the truth? When the truth comes, it shocks us. We are not called to obey standards. Nobody, like I explained last week, nobody has managed to live up to the standards that God has called us to. God set the standard up there, and he said, reach that standard. And people are this short. They are trying to jump and reach the standard. Some of them came a little bit closer. Others, they just, you know what? They were just pathetic. They couldn't do anything. But God still blessed them because they brought sacrifices. They sacrificed. And when they sacrificed, God did not look at them according to what they did. He looked at them according to what God did through the sacrifice. That is how God is looking at us today. We are not going to get to God through what? Meeting standards. I said something very powerful last week. It was powerful to me. You maybe you know it, but I did not know it until I said it as I was preaching as well. And when I went back and I listened to the message, this thing is that God has principles. When those principles are applied, they will always bear fruit. God said, as long as the earth remains, there will be season for planting and season for reaping, season for sowing and harvesting. That's a principle. You can't do anything about that. There will always be a morning, there will always be an evening. That stands. And there are so many things as well. And God says something as well. He says, when you give, he says you are sowing a seed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So those are principles that are in the Word. But what God did when he introduced the law, he took the normal, ordinary principles, he made them a law. You will remember there is a principle of giving a tithe as well, which was introduced even before the law was introduced. But when he introduced the law, he made that principle a law. He wanted to make people realize that they cannot really live up to his promise. That's why we have Malachi chapter 3, which says, you have robbed me, all of you, as a nation. And how? In tithes and offerings. The nation of Israel failed to live up to the standards that God had set for them. What I said last week then was, when God gave the principles, and when he introduced the law, he just took those principles and he made them a law. And when people try to leave the principles as if they want to meet the principles and get the results out of the principle, they always came short. They always failed. Why? Because God wanted us to understand that He is not limited to us following principles. He is God. But when we start applying those principles and we apply them in with trust and hope, believing in God, what God does is He makes the principles to work effectively for us. You have people that do not know God, that apply the principles of God, and they are successful because they use those. You go to the world will tell you how important it is that you have a self-talk. You speak to yourself. You go to the Word of God, the Bible talks about confession. People of the world, they know how much it benefits them to give. So then they give. It's a principle. It has nothing to do with whether you are a child of God or not. It's a principle. It will always work for you if you follow that. But God made it what? A law. The moment it became a law, people failed. That is why people in the world as well, they give. But they are not directed by anybody. They give as they feel, and they always prosper. They will always, what? Prosper. Because they do it out of their heart. They are not doing it to meet a standard. You find Christians, they earn 2,540. And then what do? They then go. They say, it's time for me to give my tithe. They calculate down to the cent what the tithe should be. And what happens? Unfortunately, because they're doing it to meet a standard, you look at their lives, still they're not experiencing the blessing of the Lord. God does not give us standards to live by. God has given us principles. If we honor those principles, they will work for us. But don't honor the principle as a rule, as a law that you must keep. So that if you do not keep it, what will happen is you'll be punished by God. That is how it worked for Israel, but not for you. To arise, we are called to the obedience to faith, not standards. Let me show you a scripture. Romans chapter 1. Verse 5, I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. It is through Him that we have received grace. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. And our apostleship. What is that apostleship for? To promote obedience to the faith. There is still obedience to you as a child of God, a born-again child of God. But your obedience is to the faith. It is not to the law. Israel had to obey the law. Their obedience was towards the law. But you, who is born again, a child of God, your obedience is to the faith. Look at the apostleship that Paul received. That apostleship was to promote obedience to the faith. You must understand that one. So in other words, the first thing then that I do, I want to arise. I need to then take the promises of God and receive that, believe what God has said. That is obedience to the faith. I don't have to do anything. Just think of Abraham. Genesis 15, God gives him all the blessings from verse 1 to verse 6. Then verse 6 tells us that Abraham believed God. And when he believed God, God said he was righteous. That is all we have to do. Just believe. Just believe. No works. Pratim, no works, my brother. We don't have to do anything. We just have to believe. And then what happens is, then the Lord guides you. He directs you to act in a certain way. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Bible says, it is Him who gives seed to the sower and bread for food. What does God give you? He does not just give you bread for food, Bazalwane. Oh, Bazalwane, God bless you. God gives you bread for food, and he gives you a seed to sow. And the Bible says, and then he multiplies the seed that you sow. So there is an acting, but it is directed by faith, not by the law. Abazalwane like saying, I'm now a Christian, so I can sit and do nothing. I am born again. My salvation is through grace. I don't have to do anything. No. Understand, God will give you seed to sow. He will give you bread for eating. If then you decide to eat your seed, in other words, you don't apply the principle of sowing and reaping, what's going to happen to you? Nothing. You'll receive nothing. Time will come when you'll run out of the bread to eat. Because the Bible says God will multiply the seed that you sow. His grace then is going to abound, and you will be a blessing in everything. So let's remember this part. We are called to the obedience of faith, not to standard. Romans chapter 4, verse 13, verse 16 and 17. I'm still proving this point here, that we are called to the obedience of faith, not standards. Let's read verse 13 first. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. Is that clear? It was not to them through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Faith. We are called to the obedience of faith, not the standards. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Now, this is important as well. Grace is not automatic. It is of faith, so that it would be according to grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. For you to access God's unmerited favor, you will need to exercise what? Your faith. That is why you have to be obedient to what? To faith. Apply your faith. Then you will see the glory of the Lord as God has promised. I'll read again from verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, this is important. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed. It doesn't matter now whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. All of us can now access this promise, the promise to be the heir of the world. Not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of faith of Abraham. That's us, the Gentiles, that came to God. Now, this is another thing as well. This just tells you as well that we should not try to go back to how Israel used to worship God. This scripture tells us clearly that there are those that are a seed through the law and those that are seed through the faith of Abraham. So, in other words, let those who practice the law practice the law. You are not supposed to practice the law. Don't go and steal from them and think you will apply on your side. The Bible is clear, but because we have been indoctrinated, we read the word to mean what we want to believe. That is the problem that we sit with. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, this is something else as well. I've underlined it there. I have made you a father of many nations. Does Abraham have children already? No. God says, I have made you a father of many nations. Bazalwane, we are called to the obedience of faith. Believe what God promises you. What God says he will do for you. Take that, receive it before it even happens. I have made you a father of many nations. Before it happens. And then it says, in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That is how faith works. You start speaking the promises of God. God says, arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Start confessing that. Start calling those things that be not as though they were. As you start speaking those things out, they will come to pass. God says, arise and you will shine. We are talking about how do we arise. First, we said it's through our obedience to faith, not to standard. So respond to faith. Apply your faith. Number two, hearing the word preached. Some people do not understand the power of the preached word of God. We undermine the power that comes through as we hear the word preached. Now, I want to show you here today how important it is. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Reading from the New King James Version. It says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. So God is saying, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to do what? To save those who believe. Message preached. It does not say just message. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope we understand that the Bible would not just use words that are not necessary. It does not say that through the message. It says through message preached. That emphasizes the power that comes through the word that is preached to you. That is why when you wake up in the morning and you come to church, to fellowship in church, know that there is salvation that comes through as the word of God is preached. God said something. He said, how will they believe unless somebody is sent to preach the gospel? And then he says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So there is power that comes through as the word is preached. Look at this now. He says, through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. What does this word save mean? In Greek, the word used there is sozo. This word, sozo, means to deliver or to protect. So in your life, if you need deliverance or you need protection, what should you do? Hear the word preached. You want protection. You want deliverance. Hear the word. You're seeking protection. You're seeking deliverance in your life. Just keep on hearing the word of God, because it pleased God that through the preaching of the word, he could save those who believe. As you hear the word preached over and over and over and over, over and over and over, the Bible says deliverance comes to your life. Protection comes to your life. Now, literally, this word also means to heal. Sozo means to heal. Do you need healing in your life? Hear the word, hear the word, hear the word on healing. Listen to the word of God preached about healing. Listen to that word. Do you need to be preserved? Hear the word of God about his protection. Listen to it. Do you want to be well? Listen to the word of God. Do you want to be made whole? Hear the word preached to you. Now, fortunately, because of technology today, we are no longer stuck to only hearing the word preached to us when we are in church. We have technology now. You can take these messages and listen to them wherever you go, whenever you want. So if you have a need in your life, how is God going to save you? It pleased God to save you through the preaching of the word. So find the word that speaks to your need. And as you hear that word over and over again, power is coming into your life to bring what you need. Just listening to the word of God. This is the second way of arising. Number one, what did we say? Obedience to faith. Number two, we're saying, hear the word preached.
The second verse to read here is Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Good news. Too good to be true news. So when you hear good news, when you are in trouble and you hear that God will save you, God will deliver you, God will provide for you, that is good news, am I right? So take time then to listen to that word. As you hear that word, the Bible says, because remember, it is good news that is preached to you. It says, then it becomes what? The power of God to salvation. This is repeating what was said in the book of Corinthians. Can you see that? The preaching of the word. You hearing the word. I remember there was a period when it was dark in my life. I was down and I felt like I was really down. And there's another Christian that lent me messages by Bishop T.D. Jakes. At that stage, I was not used to T.D. Jakes. But because of the situation I was in, I needed encouragement. And so this fellow Christian was just encouraging me and sharing with me what they had. I am telling you, I listened to that man of God. I stopped. My background is rules and laws. So the reason why I never liked T.D. Jakes is because I thought these people, they just preach happy gospel. So they should tell people what to do. People are not seeing what God wants them to see because they don't keep the laws of God. They don't keep the standards that God has given to them. That was my background. Then, praise the Lord, I'm delivered from that. Then when I listened to this man of God, as he preached the word of God, no standards, just preaching the faithfulness of God, just talking about how good God was, I'm telling you, I felt myself rising from within. I then again started falling in love with the Lord. I stopped now blaming the Lord because I was blaming God. I thought, you know what? I kept the standards of the Lord. Every month I tithed. Every month I went to church. I was working in the church. I was a zone pastor in the church, working full time in the church. So why is God not blessing me? Huh? And the worst thing that happened then in that year, I lost my brother. I am in full time ministry, but my brother dies. What is wrong with this God? That was my problem at that stage. I did not know what I know now. But then what I'm trying to go to is, when I started listening to Bishop T.D. Jakes, just talking about the goodness of God, what God wants to do for you, and faith started rising in my heart, and I stopped blaming God, I started praising God, and then God then introduced me to another man of God, and Romark. Then I got to understand grace. And when I got to understand grace, my life changed. But how did it happen? It came through the good news. People who were preaching the good news. The real good news. Not saying, you'll go to hell, brother. And they call that good news. That's not good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And that word salvation is soteria in Greek. As a noun, it means rescue or safety. The gospel, it produces what? A place of rescue for you or a place of safety for you. But physically or morally, it means to deliver. It means health. It means salvation. It means to save. It means saving. So when we're talking about the power of God, that leads to salvation being the gospel, we're not just talking about you being saved. So then start hearing the gospel. Start listening to the word preached. As the word is preached, what's going to happen? You will see health in your body. You will start seeing what? Salvation. You'll see deliverance. If you seek deliverance, you will start seeing deliverance. It says now, It is what? It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Still, the only thing that is needed from us is belief. And it says for the Jew first and also for the Greek. It says, and for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. From where? From faith to works. No. It says from faith to faith. You start in faith, you continue living in faith, and you live in faith, and you live in faith, and that is how you live your life. No works. Remember, works follow what you believe. Abraham believed that God had blessed him through his son, Isaac. So when God said, give this Isaac to me, Abraham took Isaac and he said, I'm going to give this Isaac to God because I know that if I give him this Isaac, God is definitely going to raise him from the dead because obviously he cannot lie. Can you see that your faith will cause you to act the right way? So action now is a fruit of faith, so that your action produces faith. Don't turn these things around. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. Grace. I've never met a man who's called Grace, but I've met a lot of Sister Grace. I think women portray grace in a much better way. And you know, then if you think of how women find it easy to give unmeritedly, and I think now it comes from there, then that's why then we will call them grace. My mother was Grace. I never got to understand that, the grace of God, until she passed on and I was introduced to Grace. Then after she was gone, then I understood, wow, my mother was Grace. But let me not go there. But the point that I'm trying to make is that the Bible says if we want to experience unmerited favor of the Lord, unearned favor of the Lord, it says grace together with peace. Peace is shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom. If you want those two multiplied in your life, grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So hear again, hear the word about God. Get to know God, what God has done for you. This is how you arise, Bazalwane. You will not arise in 2016 if you take your Bible and you put it afar off. You will not arise in 2016 if you do not listen to the messages that are preached as the Lord leads you to. You will never arise. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And it says, as his divine power has given to us all things. His divine power has given to us all things. Should we still ask him for all things? We need to receive what the Father has given to us. He has given already. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How did he give those things to us? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, it's always speaking about what? The word preached to us. Us hearing about the promises. It says then we will be able to receive what God has freely given to us. It says you may be partakers of the divine nature. You want to partake of the divine nature of the Lord? Hear about his promises. What has he promised to you? Go to his word. Just listen to that word. Just listen to that word. Listen to that word. And as you listen to that word, you will see the power of God. God uses that power of the preached word to sozo you. You'll experience your soteria. The last thing, Confessing the promise. This is critical, Bazalwane. Critical. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Now this says to you and I, after we have believed, now let us start doing what? Speaking it. Say it. Confess it. Declare it. This is a spirit of faith. These are the principles that God created. He calls those things that be not as though they were. He went to Abraham, he said, I've made you a father of many nations before it happened. So take the promises of God and start declaring. He said to Abraham, change your name. Change it to become the father of many nations. Wherever Abraham went, he started telling people, I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. Start confessing the promises of God. As you do that, you are arising. And as you arise, you will see the glory. Conclusion. Your salvation is all-encompassing. Jesus has made provision for you to access all that God has in store for you. Everything. Everything. It's not just you going to heaven one day. Everything. Don't allow your faith to become passive. Keep it engaged by being expectant to see the glory of the Lord. All the time, be expectant, as I said, be like that pregnant woman. It's like the only thing that they think about is their unborn child. They go to a shop, they see these small clothes. They look at them and say, I want this one, I'm taking it for my baby. Put it in a basket. They go and they start seeing toys or whatever. They just think about their unborn child. Be expectant of the glory of the Lord. Be like that woman. So this year, God said His glory is upon you. So be expectant. My point is to everybody, from today onwards, as we expect the glory of God to manifest over our lives, let us, Bazalwane, be expectant. Expect God to do something. And the last point, as you confess the promises of God, you are exercising your faith. Faith is like a muscle. You can build that muscle by putting it to use. If you don't use that muscle, what's going to happen to your faith? It's not going to work for you. So start then confessing it. Just confess the word of God. Just confess the word. As you are confessing the word of God, you are exercising your faith. And this is the word that the Lord put in my heart to share with you today. And I trust that if we take this word today, because this is in line with the word that God gave to us for 2016. As you take this word, apply this word, I believe that you will see the power of God in your life. Because it's going to just happen as God says it will. Freely. Without works. Just freely. That is how it's going to work. Let us close our eyes and let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are so grateful for your word that you've shared with us today. Thank you, Father, for the light that you've shared. Thank you for the understanding that you've given us this morning, Father. We receive your word and we thank you for the power, the life that has come through the preaching of your word. Lord, we're so grateful that as we apply it, Father, we will see this word bearing fruit in our lives. And our lives will never be the same again. We give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to speak the blessing of the Lord over our lives. Father, we thank you for the blessing that was proclaimed to us through your word preached today, as well as through partaking in the Holy Communion. Lord, we receive everything that you have for us. And now we take this time, Father God, to speak specific blessings over our lives. Lord, we receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, that we are the head and not the tail. We thank you that we are on top and not beneath. We come behind in no good thing. Thank you, Father God, that everything that we touch prospers, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, that there is no weapon that is forged against us that shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we refute it. And our righteousness, Father, is from you. Thank you, Father, for you supplying all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, we receive your exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think about. Your provision, Father God, that exceeds our expectation, Father. We receive that, Lord. We see that this week. And Lord, as we start this week in any area that we're involved in, Father, we receive that the glory of the Lord be seen upon our lives. Your word says your glory has come. Lord, we receive the manifestation of your glory. We speak it out. We say we are blessed going in. We are blessed going out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you and have a wonderful week.